Book of Acts. Chapter 1. Indeed, O Theophilus, I made the first report concerning all things which Yahshua began both to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up, having given directions to the apostles whom he elected, through the Holy Spirit, those who also to whom he revealed himself while alive after he had suffered. With numerous signs for 40 days he was being seen by them, and he spoke concerning the kingdom of Yahweh. And while he ate bread with them, he charged them not to leave Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which you heard of me, for John indeed baptized in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days after. Then, indeed, coming together they questioned him, saying, Master, do you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them, It is not yours to know times or seasons which the Father placed in his own authority, but when the Spirit of holiness comes upon you, you will receive the power, and you will be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And saying these things, as they looked on, he was taken up in a cloud and he was hidden from their sight. And as they were intently looking into the heaven, he having gone, even behold, two men in white clothing stood by them, who also said, Men, Galileans, why do you stand looking up to the heaven? This Yahshua who was taken up from you to heaven, likewise he will come just as you have seen him who ascended into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount being called of Olive Grove, which is near Jerusalem, a distance of 7 furlongs away. And when they went in, they went up to the upper room where they were waiting, both Peter and Jacob, and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, Jacob the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the brother of Jacob. These all were continuing steadfastly in prayer and in supplication with one mind, with the women, and with Miriam the mother of Yahshua, and with his brothers. And in these days, standing up in the middle of the disciples, and the number of names together being about 120, Peter said, Men, brothers, it was necessary for this scripture to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit spoke before through David's mouth concerning Judas, the one having become guide to those seizing Yahshua, for he was numbered with us, and obtained a portion of this ministry. This is he who obtained a field for himself from the reward of sin and fell upon his face on the ground and burst from his middle and poured out all his insides. And it became known to all those living in Jerusalem, so as that field to be called in their own dialect, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. Let his dwelling be desolate, and let not one be a dweller in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, it is right that men being together with us all the time in which the Master Yahshua came in and went out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken from us, one of these to become a witness of his resurrection with us. And they set out too, Joseph, he being called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And having prayed, they said, You, Master, knower of all hearts, show which one you chose from these two, that he may receive a portion of the ministry in apostleship, from which Judas departed, that he might go to in his place. And they gave their lots. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Chapter 2. And in the fulfilling of the day of Shavuot, they were all with one mind in the same place. And suddenly a sound came out of the heaven, as a groaning spirit along by a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues as of fire appeared to them, being distributed, and it sat on each one of them. And they were all filled of the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave ability to them to speak. And Jews were living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation of those under the heaven. And when that sound occurred, all the people gathered and were perplexed because they were hearing each man among them who were speaking in their own language. And all were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Behold, we can't grasp this, are not all these, those speaking, Galileans? And how do we hear each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians, and Medes, and Elamites, and those living in Mesopotamia, both Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, both Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya over against Cyrene, and the temporarily residing Romans, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, in our own languages we hear them speaking the great wonders of Elohim? And all were amazed and puzzled, saying to one another, What could this be? But ridiculing, others said, They are full of sweet wine. But standing up with the 11, Peter lifted up his voice and spoke out to them, Men, Jews, and all those living in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to my words, for these are not drunk, as you imagine, for it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which has been spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, Yahweh says, I will pour from my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and also I will pour out my spirit on my servants and handmaids in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will give wonders in the heaven above, and miraculous signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of Yahweh. And it shall be that everyone who shall call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. Men, sons of Israel, hear these words, Yahshua the Nazarene, a man from Elohim, having been approved among you by works of power and wonders and miraculous signs, which Yahweh did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, this man, who was set apart was for this, by the foreknowledge and will of Elohim, you delivered into the hands of the wicked and you crucified and killed. But Yahweh loosed the cords of Sheol and raised him because it was not possible that he be held in Sheol. For David said as to him, I always foresaw my Adonai before me, because he is at my right hand, that I not be moved. For this reason my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad, and my flesh also will dwell on hope, because you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you give your righteous one to see corruption. You have revealed the road of life to me. You will fill me with gladness with your presence. Men, brothers, let me speak boldly with you to say to you as to the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is among us until this day. For he was a prophet, and he had known the oaths that Elohim had sworn to him, that of the fruit of your loins I shall establish a king upon your throne. Foreseeing, he spoke about the resurrection of the Messiah, that his soul was not left in Sheol, nor did his corpse see corruption. This Yahshua, Yahweh raised up, of which we all are witnesses. Then being exalted to the right of Yahweh, and receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says, Yahweh said to my Adonai, Sit at my right hand until I place those who are enemies to you as a footstool for your feet. Then assuredly, let all the house of Israel acknowledge that Yahweh made known this same Yahshua whom you crucified, he is both Yahweh and Messiah. And hearing, they were touched in the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men, our brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, each of you in the name of Yahshua Yahweh for the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Spirit of holiness. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all those afar off, as many as the Master our Elohim shall call. And with many other words he earnestly testified and exhorted, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. And some of them readily received his words and believed and were baptized. And there were added in that day about 3,000 souls. And they were continuing steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came to every soul, and signs and many mighty deeds occurred by the hands of the apostles in Jerusalem. And all the believers were ekod and had all things common. And they sold possessions and goods and distributed them to all, according as anyone had need. And continuing steadfastly with one mind day by day in the sanctuary, and breaking bread from house to house, they shared food in gladness and simplicity of heart, they were praising Yahweh while finding favor before all the people. And every day our Master would add to those who lived among the congregation. Chapter 3. And Simon and John were going up on the same day into the sanctuary at the hour of prayer, the ninth. And a certain man, being lame from his mother's womb, was being carried, whom day by day they put at the gate of the sanctuary, being called Beautiful, to ask alms from those going into the sanctuary, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the sanctuary asked alms. And with John, looking intently toward him, Peter said, Stare at us. And he stared at them while he was expecting to receive something from them. But Simon said, There is no silver and gold to me, but what I have, this I give to you, in the name of Yahshua Messiah the Nazarene, rise up and walk. And taking him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones were made firm. And he leaped up, and, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple while walking and leaping and praising Yahweh. And all the people saw him walking and praising Elohim. And they recognized that he was that vagrant who would sit all day and ask for alms at the gate that was called Beautiful. And they were filled with amazement and wonder concerning the thing that happened. And while he was holding Simon and John, all the people ran while marveling to them on the porch called Solomon's. And seeing this, Peter answered to the people, "Men, sons of Israel, why are you in wonder at this man or at us? Why do you stare at us, as if it is by our own strength or by our authority we did this, that this man might walk? The Elohim of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, glorified his child Yahshua, whom you delivered up, and denied him before the face of Pilate, that one having decided to set him free. But you denied the holy and just one, and asked for a man, a murderer, to be granted to you. And the author of life you killed, whom Yahweh raised up from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And in the faith of his name, this man that you see and know, he has strengthened and healed. And the faith that is in him has given him this wholeness before all of you. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in your ignorance, as also did your leaders. But what things Elohim before proclaimed through the mouth of all his prophets, that the Messiah should suffer, he fulfilled in this manner. Repent, therefore, and be turned so that your sins may be blotted out and times of rest come to you from before the presence of Yahweh. And that he may send forth the one before proclaimed to you, Yahshua Messiah, whom heaven truly needs to receive until the fullness of the times of all things, of which Yahweh spoke through the mouth of all his holy prophets from old. For Moses indeed said to the fathers, Yahweh your Elohim will raise up to you a prophet from among your brothers, one like me, you shall hear him according to all things, whatever he may speak to you. And it shall be that of every soul, whoever should not hear that prophet shall perish from among the people. And also all the prophets, from Samuel and those following after, as many as spoke, also before announced these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which Yahweh appointed to our fathers, saying to Abraham, even in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Having raised up his child Yahshua, Yahweh sent him first to you, blessing you and turning away each one from your iniquities. Chapter 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests, and the sanctuary leaders and the Sadducees stood near them, while they were being furious at them, because they taught the people concerning the resurrection by the Messiah, that is from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and put them into custody until the morrow, for it was already evening. But many of those hearing the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it happened on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes assembled into Jerusalem, also Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the high priestly family line. And standing them in the midst, they were inquiring, by what sort of power, or by what sort of name did you do this? Then being filled of the Holy Spirit, Peter said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, listen, if we are being examined today on the good work of this sick man, by what this one has been healed, let it be known to all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that in the name of Yahshua, Messiah, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, in this name this one stands before you whole. This one is the stone rejected by you the builders, the one who has come to be into the head of the corner, and there is salvation in no other man, for neither is there any other name under heaven having been given among men by which we must be saved. But beholding the boldness of Peter and John, and having perceived that they knew not the books and uneducated men, they marveled. And they recognized them, that they were with Yahshua. But seeing the man standing with them, the one having been healed, they had nothing to say against him. But commanding them to go outside the Sanhedrin, they conferred with one another, saying, what may we do to these men? For that a notable miracle indeed has occurred through them is plain to all those living in Jerusalem, and we are not able to deny it. But that it may not be spread abroad further to the people, let us threaten them with a threat that they no longer speak on this name to any sons of men. And calling them, they ordered them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Yahshua. But answering them Peter and John said, whether it is right before Elohim to listen to you rather than Yahweh, you judge. For we are not able not to speak what we saw and heard. But having threatened them again, they released them, finding nothing as to how they might punish them, on account of the people, because all glorified Yahweh on the thing happening. For the man on whom this miracle of healing had occurred was more than 40 years of age. And being set free, they came to their own brethren and reported to them what the chief priests and elders said. And hearing, they with one passion lifted their voice to Elohim and said, Yahweh, you are the Elohim who made the heaven and the earth and the sea, and all things in them, who through the mouth of your servant David said, Why do the nations rage, and the peoples plan worthless things? The kings of the earth have risen and rulers have deliberated as one against Yahweh and against his Messiah. For truly both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the nations and the peoples of Israel, were assembled against your holy son Yahshua, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your counsel before, determined to be done. And even now, Yahweh, look and see their threats and give to your servants, that they be boldly preaching your word, while you extend your hand for healings and mighty works and signs to be in the name of your Son, the Holy One, Yahshua. And they having prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of Yahweh with boldness. The assembly of those men who were believing had but one soul and one mind, and no man among them concerning the possessions that he possessed would say that they were his. Rather, everything that they had was in common. And with great power the apostles were testifying of the resurrection of the Master Yahshua, and great grace was upon them all. And there was no man among them who was lacking, for those who had possessed fields and houses would sell them, and brought the price of whatever was sold and laid them at the feet of the apostles. And it was distributed to each according as any had need. And Joseph, the one surnamed Barnabas by the apostles, which being translated is, son of comfort, a Levite, a Cypriot by race, a field being his, selling it, he brought the proceeds and placed them at the feet of the apostles. Chapter 5. But a certain man named Cananiah, with his wife Sapphira, sold a property, and kept back from the price, his wife also aware of it, and bringing a certain part, he put it at the feet of the apostles. But Peter said, Cananiah, why did Satan fill your heart for you to lie to the Holy Spirit and to secretly keep back from the price of the land? Was it not yours before it was sold? And after it was sold, again you were in control over its proceeds. Why have you placed in your heart to do this spectacle? You have not lied in the presence of men, but in the presence of Elohim. And hearing these words, Cananiah fell down and died. And great fear came on all those who heard. And rising up, the younger ones wrapped him, and carrying out, they buried him. And about 3 hours afterwards, his wife also entered, not knowing that happening. And Peter answered her, Tell me if you gave over the land for so much? And she said, Yes, for so much. Simon said to her, Because you have deliberated to tempt the Spirit of Yahweh, behold, the feet of the grave diggers of your husband are at the door, and they will take you out. And she immediately fell at his feet and died. And entering, the younger ones found her dead, and carrying her out, they buried her beside her husband. And great fear came to be on all the assembly and on all those hearing these things. And many miraculous signs and wonders among the people took place through the hands of the apostles. And they were all with one passion in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, no one dared to touch them, but the people greatly magnified them. And more were added, those who believed in Yahweh, both men and women. So as to carry out the sick in the streets, and to place them on cots and mattresses, that at the coming of Peter, if even his shadow might overshadow some of them. And also the multitude came together from the cities around Jerusalem, bringing sick ones and those being tormented by unclean spirits, who were all healed. The high priest and all those who were with him who were of the doctrine of the Sadducees were filled with envy. And they placed hands on the apostles, and seized and bound them in prison. But a cherub of Yahweh opened the doors of the prison during the night, and leading them out, he said, Go! And standing in the sanctuary, speak to the people all the words of life. And hearing, they went into the sanctuary about dawn and taught. But having come near, the high priest and those with him called together the Sanhedrin and all the elderhood of the sons of Israel. And they sent to the jail to have them brought. But having come near, the officers did not find them in the prison. And returning, they reported, saying, Indeed we found the jail having been shut with all security, and the guards outside standing before the doors. But opening it, we found no one inside. And when they heard these words, both the priest and the sanctuary commander and the chief priests were in doubt concerning them, what this might be. But having come, one reported to them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in the prison are in the sanctuary, standing and teaching the people." Then the commander going with the officers, they brought them, not with force, for they feared the people, that they might not be stoned. And bringing them, they stood in the Sanhedrin. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not command you by a command that you not teach in this name? And, behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring on us the blood of this man." But answering Peter and the apostles said, "It is proper to be persuaded towards Yahweh than towards men. The Elohim of our fathers raised up Yahshua, whom you seized, hanging him on a tree. This one, Yahweh has established a prince and a savior to his right hand, so that he might give a forgiveness to Israel by repentance of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and also the Holy Spirit, whom Yahweh gave to those obeying and believing him." And after they heard these words, they were enraged with anger and they were contemplating to kill them. But one standing up in the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the Torah honored by all the people, commanded the apostles to be put outside a little while. And he said to them, "Men, Israelites, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do on these men. For before these days Theudas rose up, claiming himself to be somebody, to whom was joined a number of men, about 400, who was done away, and all, as many as obeyed him, were dispersed and came to nothing. After this, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the registration. And he drew considerable people after him. Yet that one perished, and all were scattered, as many as obeyed him. And now I say to you, keep yourselves from these men and leave them alone, for if this thinking is from men, they will disintegrate and pass away. But if it is from Elohim, it is not attainable to halt it with your hands, lest you find yourself standing against Elohim." And they obeyed him. And calling the apostles, having scourged them, having commanded not to speak on the name of Yahshua, even they set them free. And they departed from before them rejoicing that they were worthy because of the name, to be despised. And they would not cease all day to teach in the sanctuary and at home and to preach about our Master, Yahshua, the Messiah. Chapter 6. But in those days, the disciples having multiplied, a murmuring of the Hellenists toward the Hebrews occurred, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. And having called near the assembly of the disciples, the 12 said, "It is not good that we should neglect the word of Elohim and serve tables. Examine therefore, my brothers, and pick 7 men among you that have a good witness and who are full of the Spirit of Yahweh and wisdom, and we will set them over this issue. But we shall continue steadfast in prayer and the service of the word." And the saying was pleasing before all the multitude. And they chose out Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, each of whom they made stand before the apostles. And having prayed, they laid hands upon them. And the word of Yahweh was increasing, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem was multiplying exceedingly. Even a great crowd of the priests were attending to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, was doing wonders and great signs among the people. But some of those of the synagogue called libertines rose up, also some Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some of those from Cilicia and Asia Minor, disputing with Stephen. And they had no strength to stand against the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they induced some men to be saying, "We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and Elohim." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And coming on, they together seized him and led him into the Sanhedrin. And they stood up false witnesses, who were saying, "This man does not cease speaking blasphemous words against this holy place and the Torah, for we have heard him saying that this Yahshua the Nazarene will destroy this place and will change the customs which Moses delivered over to us." And having looked intently at him, all those having sat in the Sanhedrin saw his face as if it were the face of an angel. Chapter 7. And the high priest said, "Tell me then if you thus hold these things?" And he said, "Men, brothers, and fathers, listen. The Elohim of glory appeared to our father Abraham, being in Beth-Narain, the land of the two rivers Tigris and Euphrates, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, Go out from your land and from your kinsmen, and come into a land which I will show to you. Then going out from the land of the Chaldeans, he lived in Haran. And after his father died, Elohim moved him from there into this land in which you now live. And he did not give him an inheritance in it, not even a footstep, yet he promised that he would give it to him as an heirloom to him and to his seed while he had no son. And Yahweh spoke thus, that his seed would be an alien in another land, and they would enslave it and oppress it 400 years. And Yahweh said, I will judge the nation to which you will be in bondage. And after these things they will come out and will serve me in this place. And he gave to him a covenant of circumcision, and so he fathered Isaac and circumcised him on the 8th day. And Isaac fathered Jacob, and Jacob the 12 patriarchs. And being jealous of Joseph, the patriarch sold him into Mizraim. But Yahweh was with him, and plucked him out from all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh the king of Mizraim. And Pharaoh appointed him to be ruling over Mizraim and all his household. But a famine came over all the land of Mizraim and Canaan, and great affliction. And our fathers did not find food. But hearing grain was in Mizraim, Jacob sent our fathers out first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's race became known to Pharaoh. And sending, Joseph called his father Jacob and all his kindred, and they were 75 souls in number. And Jacob went down into Mizraim and died, he and our fathers. And they were moved into Shechem, and were put in the tomb which Abraham bought for a price of silver from the sons of Hamor of Shechem. And when the time arrived for the things that Yahweh had promised by oaths to Abraham, the people increased and grew strong in Mizraim until another king rose up who did not know Joseph. And he plotted against our kindred and dealt wickedly with our fathers, and commanded that their infant males be cast out so that they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was beautiful to Elohim, who was reared 3 months in his father's house. And when he was cast out from his mother, the daughter of Pharaoh reared him as a son for herself. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was prepared in his words and in his deeds. And when a period of 40 years was fulfilled to him, it arose in his heart to look upon his brothers, the sons of Israel. And he saw one of the sons of his tribe persecuted, and passed judgment for him, and he avenged him, and he killed the Egyptian, he who had wronged him. And he hoped his brothers would understand that Elohim would give them salvation by his hand. But they did not understand. And on another day he appeared to them while fighting. And he urged them to peace, saying, Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong one another? But the one wronging the neighbor thrust him away, saying, Who appointed you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you not want to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses fled at this word. And he became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he fathered 2 sons. And 40 years being fulfilled to him, the messenger of Yahweh appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And when Moses saw it, he was amazed at the vision, and as he drew near to it, Yahweh said to him in a voice, I am the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, and the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. And while he was trembling, Moses did not dare to stare at the vision. And Yahweh said to him, Loosen the sandal from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I surely saw the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their groan, and I came down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send you to Egypt. This is Moses, whom they denied, saying, Who appointed you a ruler and a judge? This one Elohim has sent as ruler and redeemer by the hand of the messenger who appeared to him in the bush. This one led them out, having worked wonders and miraculous signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea, and 40 years in the wilderness. This is the same Moses who said to the sons of Israel, Yahweh your Elohim will raise up a prophet to you, from your brothers, one like me. You shall hear him. This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the messenger who spoke to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the living words to give to us, and our forefathers did not desire to obey him, rather, they left him and in their hearts they returned to Egypt. Saying to Aaron, Make for us gods which will go before us, for this Moses who led us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. And they made a calf in those days and led a sacrifice up to the idol, and made merry in the works of their hands. But Elohim turned and gave them over to serve the host of the heaven, as it has been written in the book of the prophets, "Did you bring slain beasts and sacrifices to me 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? And you took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, the figures which you made, in order to worship them. And I will remove you beyond Babylon. The tabernacle of the testimony was among our fathers in the wilderness, as he who spoke to Moses commanded to make it according to the pattern which he had seen, which also was brought in, our fathers having received with Joshua, in the taking of possession of the nations, whom Yahweh drove out from the face of our fathers, until the days of David, who found favor before Yahweh and asked to find a tabernacle for the Elohim of Jacob, but Solomon built him a house. But the Most High does not dwell in sanctuaries made by hand, as the prophet says, Heaven is my throne, and the earth a footstool of my feet, what house will you build me, says Yahweh, or what the place of my rest? Did not my hands make all these things? O stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and in the ears! You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, you do also. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And your forefathers have killed those who foretold about the coming of the Righteous One, he whom you delivered up and whom you killed. Who received the Torah by the command of cherubs and did not keep it. And when they had heard these things, they were filled with anger within themselves and they were gnashing their teeth against him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, looking intently into the heaven, he saw the glory of Elohim, and Yahshua standing at the right of Yahweh. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens having been opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right of Yahweh. And crying out with a loud voice, they held their ears and all of them rushed upon him. And they seized him and took him outside of the city, and they were stoning him, and those who testified against him laid their garments at the feet of a certain young man who was called Shaul. And they were stoning Stephen while he prayed, and he said, Our Master Yahshua, receive my spirit. And after he kneeled down, he cried in a loud voice and said, Our Master, do not cause this sin to stand against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. Chapter 8. And Saul consented and participated in his murder. And in that day a great persecution took place on the assembly which was in Jerusalem, and all were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout brethren buried Stephen and all made a great mourning over him. Now Saul persecuted the congregation of Yahweh while he entered homes and dragged away men and women. And he delivered them to prison. Then indeed, the ones who being scattered passed through, preaching the word of Elohim. And going down to a city of Samaria, Philip preached proclaiming Messiah to them. And with one passion the crowds heeded that being said by Philip when they heard and saw the many miraculous signs which he did. For many of the ones having unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, they came out. And many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. And great joy was in that city. Now there was a certain man there whose name was Simon Magus, who lived in that city a long time and deceived the people of Samaria by his sorcery while magnifying himself and saying, I am great. All were bowing toward him, from small to great, saying, This one is the great power of Elohim. And they persuaded him, all of them, because a long time ago he had persuaded them with his sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news, the things concerning the kingdom of Yahweh, and in the name of Yahshua Messiah, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself also believed, and being baptized was continuing steadfastly with Philip. And seeing miracles and mighty works happening, he was amazed. And the apostles in Jerusalem hearing that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, they sent Simon Peter and John to them, who going down prayed concerning them so that they may receive the Holy Spirit. For it was not upon any one of them yet, but they were only being baptized in the name of the Master Yahshua. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. But when Simon Magus saw that the Holy Spirit is given through the laying on of the hands of the apostles, he offered them money, saying, Give to me also this authority that to whomever I may lay on the hands he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, May your silver be with you into destruction, because you thought to obtain the gift of Yahweh through money. You have no part or portion in this faith because your heart is not straight before Yahweh. Repent, then, from this wickedness of yours, and petition Elohim if perhaps you will be forgiven the thought of your heart. For I see you being in bitter anger and the bonds of iniquity. And answering Simon said, You petition to Elohim for me, so that nothing of which you have spoken may come on me. Then indeed having earnestly testified and having spoken the word of Elohim, they returned to Jerusalem, even having preached the good news to many villages of the Samaritans. But a cherub of Yahweh spoke to Philip, saying, Rise up. Go to the south on the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he arose and went and met a certain faithful one who had come from Cush, an official of Candace, the queen of the Cushites, and he was an authority over all her treasures. And he had come to worship in Jerusalem. And he was returning. And sitting on his chariot he read the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join yourself to this chariot. And running near, Philip heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Indeed, do you know what you are reading? But he said, How am I able to comprehend unless someone instructs me? And he called Philip near, to come up to sit with him. And the content of the scripture which he was reading was this, He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as an ewe before the shearer is silent, even so he did not open his mouth. He was led in his humiliation from his confinement and from judgment. And his generation, who will declare it, because his life has been taken from the earth? And that faithful one said to Philip, I ask you, about whom does the prophet say this? About himself, or about some other one? And Philip, opening his mouth, began to preach from this scripture concerning our master Yahshua. And as they were going along the highway, they came on some water. And that faithful one said, Behold, water. What prevents me to be baptized? And Philip said, If you believe from all the heart, it is lawful. And answering he said, I believe Yahshua Messiah to be the Son of Yahweh. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both went down into the water, both Philip and that faithful one, and he baptized him. But when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of Yahweh caught away Philip. And that faithful one did not see him any more, for he went his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through he preached the good news to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Chapter 9. But still breathing threats and murder toward the disciples of the Master, coming to the high priest, Saul asked from him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, so that if he found any being of the way, both men and women, having bound them, he might bring them to Jerusalem. But in the going it happened. He drew near to Damascus, and suddenly a light from the heaven shone around him. And falling on the ground he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Sir, who are you? And the Master said, I am Yahshua, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick the stakes. Both trembling and being astonished he said, Master, what do you desire me to do? And the Master said to him, Rise up and go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do. But the men traveling with him had been standing speechless, indeed hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And Saul was lifted up from the earth, but his eyes being opened he saw no one. And leading him by the hand they brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days not seeing, and did not eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Cananiah. And Yahweh said to him in a vision, Cananiah. And he said, Behold, Master, I am here. And the Master said to him, Rising up, pass along on the street being called Straight, and seek a Tarshan, Saul by name, in the house of Judas. For, behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Cananiah, coming in and putting a hand on him, so that he may see again. And Cananiah answered, Master, I have heard from many about this man, how many bad things he did to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all the ones calling on your name. And Master Yahweh said to him, Go, for this one is a chosen vessel to me, to bear my name before nations and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And Cananiah went away and entered into the house. And putting hands on him he said, Brother Saul, the Master has sent me, Yahshua, the one who appeared to you in the highway on which you came, that you may see and be filled of the Holy Spirit. And at once something that resembled scales fell off from his eyes. And rising up, he was baptized. And taking food he was strengthened. And Saul was with the disciples in Damascus some days. And immediately he was in the synagogue of the Yehudians preaching about Yahshua, that he was the son of Yahweh. And all those hearing were amazed and said, Is this not the one destroying those who have called on this name in Jerusalem? And he had come here for this, that binding them he might lead them before the chief priests? But Saul was more filled with power, and he confounded the Jews living in Damascus, proving that this one is the Messiah. And when many days were fulfilled, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot was known to Saul. And they carefully watched the gates both by day and by night, so as to do away with him. But taking him by night, the disciples let him down from the wall, lowering him in a basket. And Saul arriving in Jerusalem, he tried to be joined to the disciples. And all feared him, not believing that he is a disciple. But taking hold of him, Barnabas led him to the apostles and told them how he saw our master in the highway, and that he spoke to him, and how in Damascus he spoke boldly in the name of Yahshua. And he was with them, going in and going out in Jerusalem, and speaking boldly in the name of our master Yahshua. And he spoke and disputed with the Yehudians who knew Greek, and they took him in hand to do away with him. But knowing, the brothers led him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then, indeed, the assemblies throughout all Judea, and Galilee, and Samaria, had peace, having been built up and having gone on in the fear of Elohim. And they were increased in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And it happened, passing through all, Peter also came down to the saints dwelling in Lud. And he found there a certain man named Aeneas who had been lying on a mattress 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Yahshua the Messiah heals you. Arise and make your bed. And all those dwelling in Lud and the Sharon plain saw him, who then turned to Elohim. And in Joppa was a certain disciple named Tabitha. She was full of good works and of alms which she did. And it happened in those days, becoming ill, she died. And they washed her, and put her in an upper room. And Lud being near to Joppa, the disciples hearing that Simon is in it, they sent two men to him, begging him not to delay to come to them. And rising up Simon Peter went with them, and having arrived they led him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing coats and garments that Tabitha made while she lived. And putting all out, placing the knees Peter prayed. And turning to the body he said, Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes. And seeing Simon she sat up. And giving her a hand he raised her up. And calling the saints and the widows he presented her alive. And it became known through all Joppa. And many believed in our master. And it was considerable days that he remained in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Chapter 10. But a certain man, Cornelius by name, was in Caesarea, a centurion of a cohort being called Italian, one righteous and fearing Yahweh with all his house, both doing many alms to the people and praying continually to Yahweh. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw plainly in a vision a cherub of Yahweh coming to him, and saying to him, Cornelius. And he was staring at him, and becoming terrified he said, What is it, Master? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms went up for a memorial before Yahweh. And now send men to Joppa and call for Simon who is called Peter. This one is lodged with one Simon, a tanner whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the cherub speaking to Cornelius went away, calling two of the sons of his household and a devout servant who feared Elohim, and obeyed him, and having explained all things to them, he sent them to Joppa. And the next day, as they passed along on the road, and drawing near to the city, Simon Peter went up on the roof to pray, about the sixth hour. And he hungered and desired to eat. And while they prepared for him, a stupor fell over him. And he saw the heaven being opened in a certain vessel, like a great sheet coming down on him, being bound by four corners, and let down onto the earth, in which were all the four-footed animals of the earth, and the wild beasts, and the creeping things, and the birds of the heaven. And a voice came to him, Rise up, Peter, slay and eat. But Peter said, Elohim forbid my master, because I never did eat anything common or unclean. And again a voice came to him a second time, What things Yahweh made clean, you do not make common. And this happened three times, and the vessel was taken up into the heaven again. And as Peter was doubting within himself what the vision which he saw might be, even behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius stood on the porch asking about the house of Simon. And calling out, they inquired if Simon, being surnamed Peter, is lodged here. And as Peter pondered concerning the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. But rising up, go down and go with them, not discriminating, because I have sent them. And going down to the men, the one sent from Cornelius to him, Peter said, Behold, I am the one whom you seek. What is the cause for which you are here? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man and one fearing Yahweh, and being testified to by all the nation of the Jews, was divinely warned by a holy cherub to call you to his house and to hear words from you. Then calling them in, he lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went out with them. And some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow they entered Caesarea. And Cornelius was awaiting them, having called together his relatives and the beloved friends that he had. And as Peter was coming in, meeting him, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped. But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up. I myself am also a man. And talking with him, he went in and found many having come together. You know that it is not lawful for a Yehudian man to associate with or come near to a foreign man who is not a son of his tribe, but Yahweh showed to me concerning a man not to say that he is common or unclean. Because of this I came promptly when you sent for me, but I ask you, for what reason did you send for me? And Cornelius said, From the fourth day until this hour I have been fasting, and the ninth hour I was praying in my house. And, behold, a man stood before me in white clothing. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer was heard and your alms were remembered before Yahweh. Therefore, send to Joppa and call for Simon who is surnamed Peter. This one is lodged in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. Having come, he will speak to you. Then at once I sent to you, and you did well to come. Now then, we are all present before you to hear all the things having been commanded to you by Elohim. And opening his mouth, Peter said, Truly I see that Yahweh is not a respecter of faces, but in every nation the one fearing him and working righteousness is acceptable to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Yahshua Messiah, he is Master Yahweh of all. You know the thing that happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, Yahshua the one from Nazareth, how Yahweh anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, and healing all those having been oppressed by the devil, because Elohim was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the country of the Jews, and in Jerusalem. They did away with him, hanging him on a tree. Yahweh raised him on the third day and allowed him to be seen openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses, the ones having been beforehand picked by Elohim, to us who ate and drank with him after his resurrection from the dead. And he commanded us to proclaim to the people and to witness solemnly that it is he, who has been marked out by Yahweh to be judge of the living and the dead. To this one, all the prophets witness, so that through his name everyone believing into him will receive remission of sins. As Simon was yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit rested on all those hearing the word. And the brothers, those circumcised, who came with him, were amazed and astonished that the gift of the Spirit was even poured out upon Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in different languages and magnifying Yahweh. Then Simon answered, Can anyone forbid the water that these not be baptized, who the Holy Spirit received, even as we also? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of our Master Yahshua the Messiah. Then they asked him to remain some days. Chapter 11. And the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word of Elohim. And when Peter went up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision with him, saying, You went in unto uncircumcised men and ate with them. But beginning, Peter set out to them in order, saying, While I was praying in Joppa, I saw in a dream a certain garment that was descending which resembled a linen cloth. And it was fastened by four of its corners, and it was drawn out. And it came all the way from heaven towards me. Looking intently on this, I observed. And I saw the four-footed animals of the earth, and the wild beasts, and the creeping things, and the birds of the heaven. And I heard a voice saying to me, Peter, rise up, slay and eat. But I said, Elohim forbid my master, because never has anything common or unclean entered into my mouth. But a voice answered me the second time out of the heaven, what Yahweh has cleansed, you do not make common. And this took place three times, and all things were pulled up into the heaven again. And, behold, at once three men stood at the house in which I was, having been sent from Caesarea to me. And the Spirit said to me to go with them, not discriminating. And these six brothers also were with me, and we went into the man's house. And he told us how he saw a cherub in his house, standing and saying to him, send men to Joppa, and send for Simon who is surnamed Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved. And in my beginning to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, as also on us in the beginning. And I recalled the word of our Master, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Spirit of holiness. Then if Elohim gave the same gift to them as also to us, believing on the Master Yahshua Messiah, and I, who was I, to be able to hinder Elohim? And hearing these things, they kept silent and glorified Yahweh, saying, perhaps Elohim also has granted to the nations repentance unto life. Then, indeed, they who were scattered by the oppression taking place over Stephen passed through to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except only to Jews. But some men from them, Cypriots and Cyrenians, who had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, announcing the good news of the Master Yahshua. And the hand of Adonai was with them, and a great number believing, they turned to the Almighty. And the word was heard in the ears of the assembly in Jerusalem concerning them. And they sent out Barnabas to go through as far as Antioch, and when he arrived there and saw the grace of Elohim, he rejoiced and was beseeching them that they should be followers to our Master with all their heart. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a considerable crowd was added to the Master. And Barnabas went out to Tarsus to seek Shaul. And finding him, he brought him to Antioch. And it happened that many of them were gathered to them in the assembly a whole year. And they taught a considerable crowd. And the disciples were first called Christian at Antioch. And in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus rising up, he signified through the Spirit that a great famine was about to be over all the habitable earth, which also happened on Claudius Caesar's time. And according as any was prospered, the disciples, each of them, determined to send for ministry to those brothers living in Judea, and they sent by way of Barnabas and Shaul to the elders who were there. Chapter 12. And at that time Herod the king put forth the hands to oppress some of those in the congregation. And with a sword he did away with Jacob the brother of John. And seeing that it was pleasing to the Jews, he added also to seize Simon Peter, and they were the days of unleavened bread, whom also capturing him, he put him into prison, delivering him to four sets of four soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him up to the people after the Passover. Then Peter was indeed kept in the prison, but fervent prayer was made by the congregation to Yahweh on his behalf. And toward the dawn in that very night he was preparing to deliver him, as Simon was bound by two chains sleeping among two soldiers and others were guarding the gate of the prison. And behold, a cherub of Yahweh stood above him, and a light shone in the building. And striking Peter's side, he raised him up, saying, rise up quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. And the cherub said to him, gird yourself, and bind on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, throw around your garment and follow me. And going out, he followed him, and did not know that this happening through the cherub was real, but he thought he saw a vision. And going through a first and a second guard, they came on the iron gate, leading into the city, which opened to them of itself. And going out, they went on one street, and instantly the cherub departed from his presence. And having come, Peter said within himself, now I know truly that Yahweh sent out his cherub and plucked me out of Herod's hand, and from the thing which the Jews planned against me. And considering, he came to the house of Miriam the mother of John, the one being surnamed Mark, where many were gathered together, and praying. And Simon was knocking at the door of the porch, and a servant girl named Rhoda came near to listen. And recognizing Simon's voice, from joy she did not open the porch, but running in she reported Simon was standing before the porch. But they said to her, "You are very confused." But she insisted, holding it to be so. And they said, "Perhaps, it is his messenger." But Peter kept on knocking. And opening, they saw him and were amazed. And signaling to them with the hand to be silent, he told them how Yahweh brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to Jacob and the brothers." And going out, he went to another place. And day having come, there was not a little disturbance among the soldiers, saying, "What then became of Peter?" Now after Herod sought him and could not find him, he judged the guards and commanded them that they should die, and he departed from Judea and was in Caesarea. And Herod was in bitter hostility with the Tyrians and Sidonians. But with one passion they came to him. And persuading Blastus, the one over the king's bedroom, they begged him for cultivated land, because their country was fed from the royal bounty. And on a set day, having been clothed in a regal garment, and sitting on the tribunal, Herod made a speech to them. And the people cried out, "These sayings are of a god and are not of the sons of men." And instantly a cherub of Yahweh struck him, because he did not give the glory to Elohim. And having been eaten by worms, he died. But the good news of Elohim grew and increased. And Barnabas and Shaul returned from Jerusalem, having fulfilled their service, and having taken with them John, the one surnamed Mark. Chapter 13. Now there were prophets and teachers in the congregation of Antioch, both Barnabas and Simeon, he being called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrenian, and Manaen the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Shaul. And while they were doing service to Elohim and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "So then separate both Barnabas and Shaul to me, for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, and placing hands on them, they let them go. Then these indeed sent out by the Holy Spirit went down to Seleucia, and from there sailed away to Cyprus. And coming unto Salamis, they announced the word of Yahweh in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as a helper. And passing through the island as far as Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew named Barshuma, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This one having called Barnabas and Shaul to him, he sought to hear the word of Elohim. Now he was standing against them, this sorcerer Barshuma, his name which is interpreted magician, because he was desiring to turn the proconsul from the faith. But Shaul, who is also Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and looking intently on him, he said, "O son of the devil, full of deceits and all evils and enemy of all righteousness, you will not cease to pervert the straight paths of Yahweh. And now, behold, the hand of Yahweh is on you, and you will be blind, not seeing the sun until a time." And instantly a mist and darkness fell on him, and going about he sought some to lead him by the hand. Then seeing the thing happening, the proconsul marveled and believed in the teaching of Yahweh. And putting out from Paphos with those around him, Paul came to Perga of Pamphylia. And separating from them, John returned to Jerusalem. But going through from Perga, they came to Antioch Pisidia, and going into the synagogue on the day of the Sabbath, they sat down. And after the reading of the Torah, and of the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent to them, saying, "Men, brothers, if there is a word of exhortation to the people, speak." And rising up, and signaling with his hand, Paul said, "Men, Israelites, and the ones fearing Elohim, listen. The Elohim of this people chose our forefathers and exalted and magnified them while they were sojourners in the land of Mizraim. And with a high arm, he brought them out from it. And he nourished them 40 years in the wilderness. And he pulled down 7 nations in the land of Canaan, and gave their land to them as an inheritance. And after these things, as 450 years passed, he gave judges until Samuel the prophet. And from there they asked for a king. And Yahweh gave Saul the son of Kish to them, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And removing him, he raised up to them David for a king, to whom he also said, witnessing, I found David, the son of Jesse, to be a man according to my own heart, who will do all my will. From the seed of this man Elohim raised Yahshua the Savior for Israel as was promised. John going before to proclaim before the face of his entrance a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled the course, he said, Whom do you suppose me to be? I am not he, but, behold, he comes after me, of whom I am not worthy to loosen the sandal of his feet. Men, brothers, sons of the race of Abraham, and the ones among you fearing Elohim, the word of salvation was sent to you. For those dwellers of Jerusalem and their leaders understood him not, nor the books of the prophets which are read every week. Rather they condemned him and fulfilled everything that is written. And finding not one cause of death, they asked Pilate to do away with him. And when they finished all the things having been written concerning him, taking him down from the tree, they laid him in a tomb. But Yahweh raised him from the dead, who appeared for many days to those coming up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are witnesses of him to the people. And we preach the good news to you, the promise made to the fathers, behold Elohim has completed it to their children, to us, that he raised Yahshua. It is written in the second psalm that, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And thus Yahweh raised him from the grave so that he will not return again and see corruption as he said that, I will give the grace of David the faithful to you. So he also said in another, you will not give your Holy One to see corruption. For David served the will of Elohim in his generation, and slept and was added to his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom Elohim raised up, this one did not see corruption. Then let it be known to you, men, brothers, that through this one remission of sin is announced to you. And everyone believing in this one is justified from all things which you could not be justified by the Torah of Moses. Then watch that the things spoken in the prophets may not come on you, see you despisers and be astonished and be destroyed for a work I will work in your days, that which you will not believe even if someone tells it to you. But the Jews having gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words be spoken to them on the next Sabbath. And the synagogue being broken up, many of the Jews and of the devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of Elohim. And in the coming Sabbath, almost all the city was gathered to hear the word of Elohim. And the Jews seeing the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and contradicted the things being spoken by Shaul, contradicting and blaspheming. But speaking boldly, Paul and Barnabas said, it was necessary for the word of Elohim to be spoken first to you, but since you indeed thrust it away and judge yourselves not worthy of eternal life, behold, we turn to the nations. For so our Master has commanded us, I have set you for a light to the nations, that you be for salvation to the end of the earth. And hearing, the Gentiles rejoiced and glorified the word of Elohim. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of Yahweh was spoken through all the country. But the Jews incited the rulers and with them the wealthy women of the city, those who were fearing Elohim and raised up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and threw them out from their borders. But these shaking off the dust of their feet on them, they came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14. And it happened in Iconium, they went in together into the synagogue of the Jews, and spoke so as for a huge multitude of both Jews and Greeks to believe. But the unbelieving Jews raised up and embittered the souls of the Gentiles against the brothers. And those days many were there and were openly preaching about Yahweh. And he was witnessing concerning the word of his grace with miracles and with wonders that he was accomplishing by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and some were with the Jews, but others with the apostles. Now a threat came upon them from the Gentiles and from the Jews and their rulers that they might torment them and they might stone them with rocks. After they found out, they fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra and Derbe, and the surrounding country. And they were announcing the good news there. And a certain man was sitting in Lystra, who was afflicted lame in the feet from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This one heard Paul speaking, who, looking intently at him, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, he said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped up and walked about. And seeing what Paul did, the crowd lifted up their voice in Lycaonian, saying, the gods have come down to us, becoming like men. And they called Barnabas, Zeus, and Paul, Hermes, because he was the leader in speaking. And the priest of Zeus, one who was outside of the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the gate of the courtyard where they stayed, and desired to offer a sacrifice to them. But Paul and Barnabas, the apostles, hearing, tearing their garments, they sprang into the crowd, crying out, and saying, men, why do you do these things? We are also sons of men, passionate like yourselves, who are preaching to you that you should turn from these useless things towards the living Elohim, who made the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that there is in them, who in the generations which have passed allowed all the nations to go in their own ways, while he did not allow himself without a testimony in that he did much for them. And he caused rain to descend from heaven, and he caused fruit to grow in their seasons, and he filled their hearts with cheer and gladness. And saying these things, they hardly stopped the crowds, that they not sacrifice to them. But Jews came there from Antioch and Iconium, and persuading the crowds, and stoning Paul, they dragged him outside the city, supposing him to have died. But the disciples surrounding him arising, he entered into the city. And on the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And having announced the good news to that city, and having made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, after they had strengthened the souls of the disciples and had beseeched from them to remain in the faith, and had said to them that it is right by much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of Elohim. And they raised up elders in every congregation for them after they had fasted and prayed with them, and they had committed them to our Master, he in whom they believed. And passing through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And speaking the word of Yahweh in Perga, they came down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, from where they had been committed to the grace of Yahweh for the work which they fulfilled. And after they gathered all the congregation, they conveyed everything that Elohim did among them, and that he opened the gate of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained there much time with the disciples. Chapter 15. And going down from Judea, some taught the brothers, saying, unless you are circumcised in the manner of the Torah, you cannot be saved. Then dissension and not a little disputation with them having taken place by Paul and Barnabas, they appointed Paul and Barnabas and some others of them to go up into Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this question. The congregation conducted and sent them. And they journeyed in all Phoenicia and also Samaria as they related about the reconciliation of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy to all the brethren. And having arrived in Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the congregation and the apostles and the elders. And they reported what things Elohim did with them. But some of those rose up from the sect of the Pharisees who had believed, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them in order to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders were assembled to see about this matter. And much disputation having occurred, rising up Peter said to them, men, brothers, you recognize that from ancient days, Yahweh chose among us that through my mouth the nations should hear the word of the good news, and to believe. And Yahweh, who knows what is in the hearts, testified concerning them and gave to them the Holy Spirit as he did to us. And he made distinction in nothing between both us and them, having purified their hearts by faith. Now, then, why do you test Elohim by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we had strength to carry? But through the grace of the Master Yahshua Messiah, we believe to be saved, according to which manner they also believed. And all the multitude kept silent and were hearing Barnabas and Paul recounting what things Yahweh did through them among the nations, even the miraculous signs and wonders. And after they were silent, Jacob responded, saying, men, brothers, hear me. Simon recounted how even as at first Yahweh oversaw to take a people out from among the nations for his name. And with this agree the words of the prophets, as it has been written, after these things, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen. And I will build again the things which have been demolished, and I will set it up, so that Yahweh will seek the remainder of mankind and all the nations, those whom my name is called over them, said Yahweh who made all these things. The works of Yahweh are known from eternity. For this reason I judge not to trouble those from the nations turning to Yahweh, but to write to them to hold back from the pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and blood. For in every city from ancient generations Moses has those proclaiming him, having been read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, with all the congregation, to send chosen men from them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas having been surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, writing by their hand these things, the apostles and the elders and the brothers, to those throughout Antioch, and Syria, and Cilicia, brothers from the nations, greeting. Since we heard that some of us having gone out have confused you with words, agitating your souls, saying, be circumcised to keep the Torah, to whom we gave no command. Because of this, we deliberated, all of us, to send chosen men to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have given up their souls on behalf of the name of our Master, Yahshua Messiah. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, they by word also announcing the same things. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to put not one greater burden on you than these necessary things, to hold back from idol sacrifices, and blood, and that strangled, and from fornication, from which, continually keeping yourselves, you will do well. Be true in our Master. Then they indeed being let go, they went to Antioch. And gathering the multitude, they delivered the letter. And after they read they were encouraged and they rejoiced. And Judas and Silas, themselves also being prophets, exhorted the brothers through much speech, and confirmed them. And continuing for a time, they were let go with peace from the brothers to the apostles. But it seemed good to Silas to remain. And Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and announcing the good news, the word of Yahweh, with many others also. And after some days Paul said to Barnabas, "Indeed, having turned back, let us look after our brothers throughout every city in which we announce the word of Elohim, how they are holding it." But Barnabas desired to take John with them, the one having been called Mark. But Paul thought it well not to take that one with them, he having withdrawn from them from Pamphylia, and not going with them to the work. Then there was sharp feeling, so as to separate them from each other. And taking Mark, Barnabas sailed away to Cyprus. But having chosen Silas, Paul went out, being entrusted by the brethren to the grace of Elohim. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, making the congregation strong. Chapter 16. And he arrived in Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple named Timothy was there, the son of a certain believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. This one was being testified of by the brothers in Lystra and Iconium. Paul desired this one to go forth with him, and taking him he circumcised him, because of the Jews being in those places. For they all knew his father, that he was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the need to keep the decrees that had been determined by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. Then indeed the congregations were being made stronger in the faith, and increased in number day by day. And passing through the Phrygian and the Galatian country, being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, coming against Mysia, they attempted to go along Bithynia, and the Spirit of Yahshua did not allow them. And passing by Mysia, they came down into Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul during the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing, entreating him and saying, "Passing over into Macedonia, help us." And when he saw the vision, we immediately sought to go forth into Macedonia, for he understood that our Master called us to evangelize them. Then having set sail from Troas, we ran a straight course into Samothrace, and on the next day into Neapolis, and from there into Philippi, which is the first city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were in this city, staying some days. And we went out on the day of the Sabbath without the gate of the city to the bank of the river, because there was seen a house of prayer, and sitting down we spoke with the women who came together there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, one reverencing Elohim, listened, whose heart the Master opened thoroughly to pay attention to the things being spoken by Paul. And as she and her household were baptized, she entreated Paul, saying, "If you have judged me to be believing in the Master, entering into my house, remain." And she strongly urged us. And it was while we went to the house of prayer, a certain damsel met us, in whom was a spirit of divination, and she had produced her overlords much gain by her divination. Following after Paul and us, she cried out, saying, "These men are slaves of the Most High Elohim, who are announcing to us a way of salvation." And she did this over many days. But becoming distressed, and turning to the demonic spirit, Paul said, "In the name of Yahshua Messiah, I command you to come out from her." And it came out in that same hour. And seeing that the hope of their gain went out, having seized Paul and Silas, her masters dragged them to the market. And bringing them near to the soldiers and magistrates, they said, "These men are very much troubling our city, being Jews, and preach customs which it is not lawful for us to accept, nor practice, being Romans." And the crowd rose up against them. And tearing off their clothes, the magistrates ordered men to scourge them. and laying on them many stripes, they threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them securely, who, receiving such a charge, threw them into the inner prison, and locked their feet in the stocks. And having prayed, toward midnight Paul and Silas praised Elohim in a hymn. And the prisoners listened to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the jail were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and all of the bonds were loosened. And having been awakened, and seeing that the doors of the prison had been opened, having drawn a sword, the jailer was about to do away with himself, supposing the prisoners to have escaped. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do no harm to yourself. For we are all here." And asking for lights, he rushed in. And becoming trembling, he fell before Paul and Silas. And leading them outside, he said, "Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Master Yahshua Messiah, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Master to him, and to all those in his house. And taking them in that hour of the night, he washed their stripes. And he and all those belonging to him were baptized at once. And bringing them up to the house, he set a table before them, and he and his whole house rejoiced, believing Elohim. And day having come, the magistrates sent the floggers, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer announced these words to Paul, "The magistrates have sent that you be let go. Now then, going out, proceed in peace." But Paul said to them, "Having beaten us publicly, being Romans and uncondemned men, they threw us into prison. And now do they throw us out secretly? No, indeed. But coming themselves, let them bring us out." And the floggers reported these words to the magistrates. And hearing that they were Romans, they were afraid. And coming, they begged them. And bringing them out, they asked them to go out of the city. And going out from the prison, they went into the house of Lydia. And seeing the brothers, they exhorted them, and went out. Chapter 17. And traveling through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's custom, he went in to them and reasoned with them from the Scriptures on three Sabbaths, opening and setting forth that the Messiah must have suffered and to have risen from the dead, and that this is the Messiah, Yahshua, whom I preach to you. And some of them were persuaded and joined themselves to Paul and Silas, both a great multitude of the worshipping Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But becoming jealous, and gathered to themselves, evil men from the marketplace of the city, and formed a great mob, and the disobeying Jews set the city into turmoil. And coming on the house of Jason, they sought to bring them on to the mob. But not finding them, they dragged Jason and some brothers before the city judges, crying, "Those turning the habitable world upside down have come here too," and this Jason welcomed them, and they all resist the commands of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one named Yahshua. And hearing these things, they troubled the crowd and the city judges. And taking security bail from Jason and the rest, they let them go. But the brothers at once sent both Paul and Silas to Berea during the night, who having arrived went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all readiness, daily examining the Scriptures if these things are so. And many of them believed, and so likewise of the Greeks, many men, and notable women. But when the Jews from Thessalonica knew that the word of Yahweh was also announced in Berea by Paul, they came there also, shaking up the crowd. And immediately, then, the brothers sent away Paul, to go as toward the sea. But both Silas and Timothy remained there. But those conducting Paul brought him as far as Athens. And receiving a command to Silas and to Timothy, that they come to him quickly, they departed. But awaiting them in Athens, Paul's spirit was pained within him, seeing the city full of idolatry. Then indeed, he addressed the Jews in the synagogue, and those worshipping, also in the market every day, to those happening to be there. And also philosophers of the sect of Epicureans, and others who were called Stoics, disputed with him. And one and another of them said, "What doth this babbler mean?" Others said, "He announces foreign deities, because he preached to them Yahshua and his resurrection." And taking him by force, they led him to the place of judgment called Areopagus, saying, "May we know what is this new doctrine being preached by you? For you bring startling things to our ears." We are minded then, to know what these things wish to be. And all Athenians and the strangers living there have leisure for nothing else than to say and to hear newer things. And as Paul stood in the Areopagus, he said, Men, Athenians, I perceive that in all things ye are excessive in the worship of idols. For as I was rambling about and looking up at the objects of your worship, I also found an altar on which had been written, To the hidden Elohim. Not knowing then, whom you worship, I make him known to you. The Elohim who made the world and all things in it, this one being master of heaven and of earth, does not dwell in handmade temples. Nor is served by hands of men, as having need of anything. For he is giving life and breath, and all things to all. And he made every nation of men of one blood, to live on all the face of the earth, ordaining foreappointed seasons and boundaries of their dwelling, that they might inquire and search after Elohim, and by means of his creation, might find him, because he is not afar off from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as also some of the poets among you have said, for we are also his offspring. Then man being of the offspring and family of Yahweh, we ought not to suppose that the sovereign deity is like gold or silver or stone, engraved by art and the imagination of man. Truly then, Elohim overlooking the times of this ignorance, but now strictly commands all men everywhere to repent, because he set a day in which he is going to judge all the earth with righteousness, by the man whom he has chosen, and he turned every man to have faith in him, in that he raised him from the dead. And hearing of a resurrection of the dead, some indeed ridiculed, but said, We will hear you again concerning this. And so Paul went out from their midst. But some men believed, joining themselves to him, among whom also were both Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Chapter 18. And after these things, departing from Athens, Paul came to Corinth. And finding a certain Jew by name Aquila, of Pontus by race, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome, he came to them. And because he was of the same trade, he lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue on every Sabbath, persuading both Jews and the pagans. And when both Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul felt he was not free to speak, because the Jews oppressed him and blasphemed as he earnestly testified that Yahshua is the Messiah. So he having shaken his garments, he said to them, Your blood be on your head. I am pure from it. From now on I will go to the nations. And moving from there, he went into the house of one, Titus by name, one worshipping Yahweh, whose house was next door to the synagogue. And Crispus, the synagogue ruler, believed in our master along with all his house. And hearing many of the Corinthians believed and were baptized. And the master said to Paul through a vision in the night, Do not fear, but speak, and do not keep silence. Because I am with you, and no one shall set on you to oppress you, because there is much people to me in this city. And he remained a year and 6 months teaching the word of Yahweh among them. But Gallio being proconsul of Achaia, the Jews rushed against Paul with one passion and led him to the tribunal, saying, This one persuades men to worship Elohim contrary to the Torah. But Paul being about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, If indeed, then, it was some wrong or wicked criminality, O Jews, according to reason I would listen to you. But if it is a question about a word, and names, and your Torah, you will see to it yourselves, for I do not wish to be a judge of these things. And he drove them from the tribunal. And all the heathen having seized Sosthenes the ruler of the synagogue, they beat him before the tribunal. And not one of these things mattered to Gallio. And having remained many days more, having taken leave of the brothers, Paul sailed to Syria, having shaved his head in Cenchreae, for he had vowed a vow. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. And he came to Ephesus, and he left those there. But he going into the synagogue, he reasoned with the Jews. And they asking him to remain over a longer time with them, but he did not agree, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep the coming feast as is my custom at Jerusalem, but I will come again to you, Elohim willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And landing at Caesarea, having gone up and greeted the congregation, he went down to Antioch. And spending some time, he went out, in order passing through the Galatian and Phrygian country, making strong all the disciples. but a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, being powerful in the Scriptures. This one having been taught by mouth in the way of the Master, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things about Yahshua, but he only understood the baptism of John. And this one began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And hearing him, Priscilla and Aquila took him to their home and more accurately expounded the way of Yahshua to him. And when he was disposed to go to Achaia, the brethren anticipated him, and wrote to the disciples to receive him. And by going, through grace, he greatly assisted all them that believed. For he powerfully confuted the Jews publicly, proving through the Scriptures Yahshua to be the Messiah. Chapter 19. And it happened, in the time Apollos was in Corinth, Paul was passing through the higher parts to come to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Believing, did you receive the Holy Spirit?" And they said to him, "We did not even hear whether the Holy Spirit is." And he said to them, "Then to what were you baptized?" And they said, "To the baptism of John." And Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe into the one coming after him, that is, into the Messiah, Yahshua." And hearing, they were baptized into the name of the Master Yahshua. And Paul laying hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in different languages and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And going into the synagogue, he spoke boldly over 3 months, having reasoned with them, and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of Elohim. But when some were hardened, and did not obey, speaking evil of the way, before the multitude, departing from them, he separated the disciples, and spoke to them daily in the school of a certain Tyrannus. And this happened over 2 years, so as all those living in Asia heard the word of Yahweh, both Jews and Arameans. And Yahweh did great works of power through the hands of Paul, so as even handkerchiefs or rags from his body to be brought onto those sick, and the diseases to be released from them, and the evil spirits to go out from them. But certain Jews, who went about exorcising evil spirits, undertook to name the name of the Master Yahshua over those having evil spirits, saying, "We adjure you by Yahshua whom Paul preaches." And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, doing this. But answering, the evil spirit said, "Yahshua I recognize, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil demon leaped upon them, and overpowered them, and threw them down, and they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all, both Jews and Arameans, those living in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Master Yahshua was magnified. And many of those who had believed came confessing their faults, and reporting there what they had done. And many magicians, bringing together the books, burned them before all. And they counted the prices of them, and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. And thus with great power was the faith of Yahweh strengthened and increased. And when these things were fulfilled, passing through Macedonia and Achaia, Paul purposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have come there, I must also see Rome." And sending into Macedonia 2 who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, he stayed a time in Asia. And about that time there was no little disturbance about the way. For a certain silversmith named Demetrius was making silver shrines of Artemis, providing no little trade for the craftsmen. And assembling the workmen about such things, he said, "Men, you understand that from this trade is our wealth. And ye also know and see, that not only the citizens of Ephesus, but also the mass of all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and enticed away, by saying, that those are not Elohim, which are made by the hands of men. And not only is this dangerous to us, lest our part come to be in contempt, but also the sanctuary of the great goddess Artemis will be counted nothing, and her majesty is also about to be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worships." And having heard, and having become full of anger, they cried out, saying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And all the city was filled with confusion. And they rushed with one passion into the theater, keeping a firm grip on Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, traveling companions of Paul. And Paul intending to go into the mob, the disciples did not allow him. And also some of the chiefs of Asia Minor, being his friends, sending to him begged him not to give himself into the theater. Then others indeed cried out a different thing, for the assembly was confused, and the majority did not know on what account they came together. But they dragged Alexander forward out of the crowd, the Jews thrusting him in front. And waving his hand, Alexander desired to defend himself to the mob. But they, knowing him to be a Jew, all cried out with one voice, "About 2 hours, great is Diana of the Ephesians." And quieting the crowd, the town clerk said, "Men, Ephesians, for what man is there who does not know the city of the Ephesians to be temple keepers of the great goddess Artemis, Diana, of her image that descended from heaven? Then these things being undeniable, it is necessary for you, being calmed, to be so, and to do nothing rash. For you brought these men, being neither temple robbers nor blaspheming your goddess. If then, indeed, Demetrius and those craftsmen with him have a matter against anyone, courts are being held, and there are proconsuls. Let them accuse one another. But if you seek concerning other things, it will be settled in a lawful assembly. For we are now in danger of being accused of insurrection, since we cannot give a reason for the meeting of this day, because we have assembled needlessly, and have made a tumult without a cause." And saying these things, he dismissed the assembly. Chapter 20. And after the ceasing of the tumult, having called the disciples, and having greeted them, Paul went away to go into Macedonia. And passing through those parts, and exhorting them with much speech, he came into Greece. And spending 3 months there, a plot by the Jews having occurred against him, being about to sail into Syria, he was of a mind to return through Macedonia. And Sopater, a Berean, and Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia accompanied him as far as Asia. Going forward, these awaited us in Troas. But we sailed along after the days of unleavened bread from Philippi, and came to them at Troas in 5 days, where we stayed 7 days. And on one of the Sabbaths, the disciples having been assembled to have a fellowship meal together, being about to depart on the next morning, Paul reasoned to them. And he continued his speech until midnight. And many lamps were in the upper room where they were gathered. And a young man named Eutychus was sitting in a window and listening. And while Paul prolonged his preaching, he sunk into a deep sleep, and, in his sleep, he fell from the third loft, and was taken up as dead. And Paul went down, and bent over him and embraced him, and said, "Be not terrified, for his soul is still in him." And going up, and breaking bread and tasting, and he continued to speak until daybreak, and then he departed on his journey by land. And they brought the boy alive and were comforted not a little. But going before onto the ship, we set sail for Assos, being about to take Paul in there, for so it had been arranged, he being about to go on foot. And when he met us in Assos, taking him up we came to Mytilene. And sailing away from there, on the next day we arrived off Chios, and on the next we crossed to Samos. And remaining at Trogyllium, the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined with himself not to pass by Ephesus, lest he should be delayed there, because he hasted on, if possible, to keep the day of Shavuot in Jerusalem. And sending to Ephesus from Miletus, he called for the elders of the congregation. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You understand, from the first day on which I set foot in Asia, how I was with you all the time, serving our master with all humility, and many tears and trials happening to me by the plots of the Jews. As I kept nothing back of what is profitable, so as not to tell you, and to teach you publicly, and from house to house, earnestly testifying both to Jews and to Greeks repentance toward Elohim, and faith toward our master, Yahshua Messiah. And now behold, being bound by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing the things going to meet me in it, but that the Holy Spirit testifies city by city saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I make account of nothing, nor do I hold my life precious to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Master Yahshua, fully to testify the good news of the grace of Elohim. And now, I know that you will see my face no more, all of you among whom I have traveled and preached the kingdom of Yahweh. Because of this I testify to you on this day that I am pure from the blood of all. For I did not keep back from declaring to you all the counsel of Elohim. Then take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit placed you as overseers, to shepherd the congregation of Yahweh, which he purchased through his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure grievous wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and out of you yourselves will rise up men speaking perverted things, in order to draw away the disciples after themselves. Because of this watch, remembering that I did not cease admonishing each one with tears night and day for 3 years. And now I commend you to Elohim, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all the saints. I have desired the silver, or gold, or clothing of no one. But you yourselves know that these hands ministered to my needs, and to those who were with me. I showed you all things, that working in this way we ought to help those being weak, and to remember the words of the Master Yahshua, that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And saying these things, placing his knees, he prayed with them all. And there was much weeping of all, and falling on the neck of Paul, they ardently kissed him, most of all grieving for the word which he said, that they were going to see his face no more. And they went with him to the ship. Chapter 21. And when it was time to sail, we having been torn away from them, running direct we came to Kos, and on the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship crossing over to Phoenis, going on board, we set sail. And sighting Cyprus, and leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria, and came down to Tyre, for the ship was unloading the cargo there. And finding disciples, we remained there 7 days, who told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. But when it was time for us to complete the days, going out, we traveled. And they, with all the women and children, went with us as far as outside the city. And placing the knees on the shore, we prayed. And giving parting greetings to one another, we went up into the ship, and those went back to their own. And completing the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais. And having greeted the brothers, we remained 1 day with them. And on the next day, those around him going out, Paul came to Caesarea. And going into the house of Philip the evangelist, he being of the seven, we stayed with him. And there were 4 virgin daughters to this one, who prophesied. And we remaining more days, a certain prophet from Judea named Agabus came down. And coming to us, and taking Paul's girdle, and binding his hands and feet, he said, "The Holy Spirit says these things. In Jerusalem the Jews will bind in this way the man whose girdle this is, and will deliver him up into the hands of the Gentiles." And when we heard these things, both we and those of the place begged him not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I not only am ready to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of our Master Yahshua." And he not being persuaded, we were silent, saying, "The will of our Master be done." And after these days, having made ready, we went up to Jerusalem. And also some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing Mason, a certain Cypriot, an ancient disciple, with whom we might lodge. And we being in Jerusalem, the brothers joyfully received us. And on the next day, Paul went in with us to Jacob. And all the elders came. And having greeted them, he related one by one what things Yahweh had worked among the nations through his ministry. And hearing, they glorified the Master, and said to him, "You see, brother, how many myriads there are of Jews that have believed, and all are zealous ones of the Torah. And it hath been told them, of thee, that thou teach all the Jews that are among the Gentiles to depart from Moses, by telling them not to circumcise their children, and not to observe the customs of the Torah. What then is it? At all events, a multitude will come together, for they will hear that you have come here. Then do this, what we say to you. There are 4 men who have a vow on themselves, take them, and go and purify thyself with them, and pay the expenses along with them, as they shall shave their heads, that every one may know, that what is said against thee is false, and that thou fulfill and observe the Torah. As to those of the Gentiles who have believed, we have written, that they should keep themselves from idol sacrifices, and from whoredom, and from what is strangled, and from blood." Then taking the men on the next day, having been purified with them, Paul went into the sanctuary, declaring the fulfillment of the days of the purification, until the offering should be offered for each one of them. But when the 7 days were about to be completed, having seen him in the sanctuary, the Jews from Asia stirred up all the crowd, and they laid hands on him, crying out, "Men, Israelites, help! This is the man who teaches all everywhere against the people and the Torah and this place. And even more, he also brought Greeks into the sanctuary and has defiled this holy place." for they had before seen Trophimus, the Ephesian in the city with him, whom they supposed that Paul brought into the sanctuary. And the whole city was moved, and there was a running together of people. And laying hands on Paul, they brought him outside of the sanctuary, and at once the doors were shut. But as they were seeking to kill him, a report came up to the Kiliarch of the cohort, that all Jerusalem is in a tumult. He at once ran down to them, taking soldiers and centurions. And seeing the Kiliarch and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then going near, the Kiliarch laid hold of him, and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked who he might be, and what he is doing. But others cried something else in the crowd, and not being able to know the certainty because of the uproar, he commanded him brought into the fortress. But when he came on the stairs, it happened he was carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd. For the multitude of the people followed, crying out, "Take him away." But being about to be brought into the fortress, Paul said to the Kiliarch, "Is it lawful for me to say a thing to you?" And he said, "Do you know to speak in Greek? Then are you not the Egyptian who before these days caused a riot, and led 4,000 men of the assassins out into the desert?" But Paul said, "Indeed I am a man, a Jew of Tarsus, of Cilicia, a citizen of a well-known city. And I beg you allow me to speak to the people." And he allowing him, standing on the stairs, Paul signaled with his hand to the people. And much silence taking place, he spoke in the Hebrew dialect, saying, Chapter 22. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense now to you. And hearing that he spoke in Hebrew to them, they showed more quietness. And he said, "I am a man who am a Jew, and I was born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but was brought up in this city, at the feet of Gamaliel, and instructed perfectly in the Torah of our fathers, and I was zealous for Elohim, as you all are also. I persecuted this way, as far as death, binding and delivering up both men and women to prisons, as also the high priest and all the elderhood witnesses to me. And receiving letters from them to the brothers, I traveled into Damascus even to lead those to Jerusalem being bound there, in order that they might be punished. And it happened to me, traveling and drawing near to Damascus. Suddenly, about midday, a great light out of the heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground, and heard a voice saying to me, 'Shaul, Shaul, why do you persecute me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, sir?' And he said to me, 'I am Yahshua the Nazarene whom you persecute.' But those being with me indeed saw the light, and were alarmed, but did not hear his voice speaking to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, master?' And the master said to me, 'Rising up, go into Damascus, and there you will be told about all things which are appointed to you to do.' And as I could see nothing, because of the glory of that light, those with me took me by the hand, and I entered Damascus. And a certain Cananiah, a righteous man according to the Torah, having been testified to by all the Jews living there, and he said to me, 'My brother Shaul, open your eyes.' And instantly my eyes were opened, and I looked upon him. And he said, 'The Elohim of our fathers appointed you to know his will, and to see the Just One, and to hear a voice out of his mouth, for you shall be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now what do you intend? Rising up, be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of Yahweh.' And it happened to me, returning to Jerusalem and praying in the sanctuary, I saw a vision, and I saw him saying to me, 'Hurry and go out quickly from Jerusalem, because they will not receive your testimony concerning me.' And I said, 'Master, they understand that I was imprisoning and beating the ones believing on you throughout the synagogues. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was poured out, I myself also was standing by and consenting to his execution, and holding the garments of those killing him.' And he said to me, 'Go, for I will send you to the nations afar off.' And when they had heard Paul as far as this sentence, they raised their voice, and cried out, 'Away with such a man from the earth! For he ought not to live.' And they shouting, and tearing the garments, and throwing dust into the air, the Kiliarch ordered to bring him into the fortress, saying for him to be examined with scourges, that he may know for what crime they cried out so against him. But as they stretched him with the thongs, Paul said to the centurion standing by, 'Is it lawful for you to scourge a man, a Roman not found guilty?' And hearing, coming near, the centurion reported to the Kiliarch saying, 'Watch what you are about to do, for this man is a Roman.' And coming up, the Kiliarch said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" And he said, "Yes." The Kiliarch replied and said to him, "With much money I acquired Roman citizenship." Paul said to him, "And I was born in it." Then at once those being about to examine him stood away from him. And the Kiliarch also feared, fully knowing that he was a Roman, and that he had bound him. And on the next day, desiring to know the certainty as to why he was accused by the Jews, he freed him from the bonds. And he commanded the chief priests and all their Sanhedrin to come. And having brought Paul down, he set him among them. Chapter 23. And looking on the Sanhedrin, Paul said, "Men, brothers, I in all good conscience have conducted myself toward Yahweh to this day." But Ananias the high priest ordered those standing by him to strike his mouth. And Paul said to him, "Elohim is hereafter to smite thee, you whited wall. For, you sit judging me agreeably to the Torah, while you transgress the Torah, and you command to strike me?" And those standing by said, "Do you revile the high priest of Elohim?" And Paul said, "Brothers, I did not know that he is high priest, for it has been written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.' But knowing that the one part consisted of Sadducees, and the other of Pharisees, Paul cried out in the Sanhedrin, 'Men, brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees, I am being judged concerning hope and resurrection of the dead.' And he having spoken this, there was a discord between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees indeed say there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit. But Pharisees confess both. And there was a great cry. And the scribes of the part of the Pharisees rising up, they were contending, saying, 'We find nothing evil in this man. And, if a spirit spoke to him, or an angel, let us not fight against that.' And discord having arisen, fearing lest Paul should be torn by them, the Kiliarch commanded the soldiers to go down to snatch him out of their midst, and to bring him into the fortress. And coming to him in the following night, Yahshua said, 'Be cheered, Paul, for as you fully testified the things concerning me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify at Rome.' And it becoming day, some of the Jews making a conspiracy cursed themselves with oaths, saying neither to eat nor to drink until they should kill Paul. And those making this plot were more than 40, who, having come near to the chief priests and to the elders, said, 'With an oath we have bound ourselves to taste of nothing until we shall kill Paul.' Now, then, you with the Sanhedrin inform the Kiliarch, so that tomorrow he may bring him down to you, as intending more accurately to find out about him. And before his drawing near, we are ready to kill him." But the son of Paul's sister, hearing of the ambush, having come near, and entering into the fortress, reported to Paul. And calling near one of the centurions, Paul said, "Bring this young man to the Kiliarch, for he has something to report to him." Then indeed taking him, he brought him to the Kiliarch and said, "Paul the prisoner having called me near asked me to bring this young man to you, having a thing to tell you." And laying hold of his hand, and drawing aside privately, the Kiliarch asked, "What is it that you have to report to me?" And he said, "The Jews agreed to ask you that tomorrow you bring down Paul into the Sanhedrin, as intending to learn more concerning him. Therefore, you must not be persuaded by them, for more than 40 men of them lie in wait for him who put themselves under a curse neither to eat nor to drink until they kill him. And now they are ready, awaiting the promise from you." Then the Kiliarch sent away the young man, charging him, "Tell no one that you reported these things to me." And having called near a certain two of the centurions, he said, "Get 200 soldiers ready, so that they may go to Caesarea, and 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen, from the third hour of the night, and animals to stand by, so that setting Paul on, they may bring him to Felix the governor." For he was writing a letter, having this form: "Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor, Felix, greeting. This man being seized by the Jews, and being about to be killed by them, coming on with the soldiers I rescued him, learning that he was a Roman. And being minded to know the charge for which they were accusing him, I brought him down to their Sanhedrin. I found him to be accused concerning questions of their law, and having no charge worthy of death or of bonds. And it being revealed to me that a plot against the man was about to be executed by the Jews, I at once sent him to you, also commanding the accusers to say the things against him before you. Farewell." Then, indeed, taking up Paul according to the thing appointed to them, the soldiers brought him through the night to Antipatris. And on the morrow, allowing the horsemen to go with him, they returned to the fortress. Having entered into Caesarea, and giving the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. And having read it, the governor asked from what province he is. And having learned that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will hear you fully when your accusers arrive. And he commanded him to be kept in the praetorium of Herod. Chapter 24. And after 5 days Ananias the high priest came down with the elders, and a certain orator, Tertullus, who made a statement to the governor against Paul. And Tertullus being called, he began to accuse, saying, Obtaining much peace through you and excellent accomplishments having come to this nation due to your forethought, in everything and everywhere we accept with all thankfulness, most excellent Felix. But that I not hinder you more, I beseech you to hear us briefly in your fairness. For having found this man pestilent and moving insurrection among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the Nazarene sect, who also attempted to profane the sanctuary, whom we also seized and wished to judge according to our law, but Lysias the Kiliarch coming up with much force took him away out of our hands. Commanding his accusers to come to you, from whom you will be able yourself to know, having examined as to all these things of which we accuse him. And the Jews also joined in, alleging these things to be so. But the governor signaling to him to speak, Paul answered, Understanding you as being a judge to this nation many years, I cheerfully defend myself as to the things concerning myself. You are able to know that not more than 12 days are to me since I went worshipping in Jerusalem, and neither did they find me reasoning with anyone in the sanctuary, or making a gathering of a crowd, neither in the synagogues, nor throughout the city, nor are they able to prove that concerning which they now accuse me. But I confess this to you that according to the way, which they say is a sect, I do serve the Elohim of my fathers, believing all the things written in the Torah and in the prophets. And I have a hope in Elohim, which they also themselves expect, that there is to be a resurrection of the dead, both of the righteous and the wicked. And for this reason, I also labor to have always a pure conscience before Elohim and before men. And after many years I arrived doing alms and offerings to my nation, among which they found me purified in the sanctuary, not with a crowd, nor with tumult, but by some Jews from Asia, who ought, with me, to stand before you, and make accusation of their own behalf. Or let these here, present, say, whether they found any offense in me, when I stood before their Sanhedrin, than concerning this one voice which I cried out standing among them, that I am being judged today before you concerning the resurrection of the dead. And hearing these things, Felix put them off, knowing more accurately about the way, saying, When Lysias the Kiliarch comes down, I will examine the things as to you. And having ordered the centurion to keep Paul in comfort, and not to forbid any one of his own to minister to him. And after some days, Felix having arrived with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul. And he heard him concerning the faith in Messiah. And Paul having reasoned concerning righteousness and self-control, and the judgment that is about to be, becoming afraid, Felix answered, For the present, go, but taking time later, I will call for you, and with it all also hoping that silver would be given to him by Paul, that he might free him. Because of this he also more frequently sent for him and conversed with him. But 2 years being completed, another governor, whose name was Porcius Festus, came into his place and wishing to show a favor to the Jews, Felix left Paul in prison. Chapter 25. Then entering the province, after 3 days Festus went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the high priest and the chief of the Jews made a statement before him against Paul, and they begged him, asking a favor against him, so as he might send for him to Jerusalem, making a plot to kill him on the way. Then indeed Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, he himself even being about to go shortly. Therefore, let those among you who are able, go down with us, and make presentment of every offense there is in the man. And remaining among them more than 10 days, going down to Caesarea, on the next day sitting on the tribunal, he ordered Paul to be brought. And he having arrived, the Jews coming down from Jerusalem stood around, also bringing many weighty charges against Paul, which they were not able to prove. Defending himself, Paul said, Neither against the Torah of the Jews, nor against the sanctuary, nor against Caesar have I sinned in anything. But desiring to show a favor to the Jews, answering Paul, Festus said, Do you desire to go up to Jerusalem to be judged before me there about these things?" But Paul said, "I am standing before the tribunal of Caesar where I ought to be judged. I have wronged the Jews in nothing, as also you very well know. For if I indeed do wrong and have done anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if there is nothing of which they accuse me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus conferred with his counselors, and said, "You have appealed to Caesar, you shall go before Caesar." And some days having passed, Agrippa the king and Bernice arrived at Caesarea, greeting Festus. And when they stayed there more days, Festus set out to the king the things as to Paul, saying, "A certain man has been left a prisoner by Felix, about whom, on my being in Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews made a statement, and desired that I would pass judgment upon him in their favor, to whom I answered, 'It is not a custom with Romans to give up any man to destruction before the one being accused may have the accusers face to face, and may receive place of defense concerning the charge.' Then they coming together here, making no delay, sitting on the tribunal on the next day, I commanded the man to be brought, about whom, standing up, the accusers brought no criminal charge against him, as I had suspected, but they had certain questions about their own demon worship, and about a certain Yahshua dying, whom Paul claimed to live. And because I was not well established in regard to their controversy, I said to Paul, 'Would you be willing to go to Jerusalem, and there be judged concerning these matters?' But Paul having appealed for himself to be kept to the examination of Augustus, I commanded him to be held until I might send him to Caesar. And Agrippa said to Festus, 'I would like to hear the man myself.' And he said, 'Tomorrow you shall hear him.' Then on the morrow, Agrippa and Bernice coming with much pomp and entering into the courthouse, with both the kiliarchs and the chief men, being of the city, also Festus commanding, Paul was led out. And Festus said, 'King Agrippa, and all those men present with us, you see this one about whom all the multitude of the Jews pleaded with me, both here and in Jerusalem, crying out that he ought to live no longer. But I having perceived nothing he had done worthy of death, also this one himself having appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him, about whom I have nothing certain to write to my master. Because of this I brought him before you, and most of all before you, King Agrippa, so as the examination taking place, I may have somewhat to write. For it seems unreasonable to me to send a prisoner, and not also to signify the charges against him.'" Chapter 26. And Agrippa said to Paul, "It is allowed for you yourself to speak." Then Paul made a defense, stretching out the hand, "Concerning all of which I am accused by Jews, King Agrippa, I count myself happy being about to make defense before you today, you being most of all an expert, knowing of all the customs and questions also among the Jews. Because of this, I beg you patiently to hear me. Truly, then, all the Jews know my way of life from youth, which from the beginning had been in my nation in Jerusalem, who before knew me from the first, if they will testify, that according to the most exact sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now, for the hope of the promise which was made by Elohim to our fathers, I stand and am judged. To this hope, our 12 tribes hope to come, with earnest prayers by day and by night, and for this same hope, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. How can you judge? Is it wrong to believe that Elohim will raise the dead? For at the very beginning, I was determined that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Yahshua the Nazarene, which I also did in Jerusalem. I also shut up many of the saints in prisons, receiving authority from the chief priests, and they being put to death, I took part with those that condemned them. And in every synagogue I tortured them, while I pressed them to become revilers of the name of Yahshua. And in the great wrath, with which I was filled against them, I also went to other cities to persecute them. In which also traveling to Damascus with authority and decision power from the chief priests, at midday along the highway, O king, I and those with me saw a light from heaven shining around me above the brightness of the sun. And all of us falling to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, and saying in the Hebrew dialect, 'Shaul, Shaul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the stakes.' And I said, 'Who are you, sir?' And he said, 'I am Yahshua whom you persecute. But rise up and stand on your feet, for it is for this reason I appeared to you, to appoint you a servant and a witness both of what you saw, and in what I shall appear to you, having delivered you from the people and the nations, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to Yahweh. In order that they may receive remission of sins, and an inheritance among those being sanctified by faith in me. Upon this, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but to those first in Damascus, and Jerusalem, and to all the country of Judea, and to the nations, I proclaimed the command to repent and to turn to Elohim, doing works worthy of repentance. Because of these things, having seized me in the sanctuary, the Jews tried to kill me. Then obtaining help from Elohim, I stand until this day, witnessing both to small and to great, saying nothing else than what the prophets and Moses also said was going to happen. That Messiah would suffer, and would become the first fruit of the resurrection from the dead, and that he would proclaim light to the people and to the nations. And he defending himself with these things, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you rave. Your too much study has turned you into madness. But he said, not to madness, most excellent Festus, but I speak words of truth and sanity. And King Agrippa is also well acquainted with these things, and I therefore speak confidently before him, because I suppose not one of these things hath escaped his knowledge, for they were not done in secret. Do you believe the prophets, King Agrippa? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in such a short while, do you try to persuade me to become a Christian? And Paul said, I would pray to Elohim, both in a little and in much, not only you, but also all these hearing me today to become as I also am, except for these chains. And he saying these things, the king and the governor and Bernice rose up, and those who sat with them. And having gone aside, they spoke to one another saying, this man does nothing worthy of death or of bonds. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man was able to have been set free, if he had not appealed to Caesar. Chapter 27. And Festus commanded that he should be sent to Italy unto Caesar. They delivered up both Paul and certain other prisoners to a centurion named Julius, of a cohort of Augustus. And when we were to depart, we embarked in a ship which was from the city of Adramidium, and was going to Asia Minor. And there embarked with us in the ship, Aristarchus, a Macedonian of the city of Thessalonica. And on the next day we landed at Sidon. And treating Paul kindly, Julius allowed him to go to his friends to receive care. And setting sail from there, we sailed close to Cyprus, because of the winds being contrary. And sailing over the sea against Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra of Lycia. And the centurion finding there an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, he put us into it. And as it was hard navigating, we had scarcely arrived, after many days, over against the Isle of Cnidus. And, because the wind would not allow us to pursue a straight course, we sailed around by Crete, and came opposite the city of Samone. And coasting along it with difficulty, we came to a certain place named Fair Havens, near to which was a city, Lasia. And we were there a long time, until after the day of Yom Kippur. And it was hazardous then for any one to go by sea, and Paul warned them, saying, men, I see that the voyage is about to be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and of the ship, but also of our souls. But the centurion was rather persuaded by the helmsman and the shipmaster, than by the things spoken by Paul. And the port not being fit for wintering, most of them gave counsel to set sail from there, if somehow they may be able to pass the winter, arriving at Phoenix, a port of Crete looking toward the southwest and toward the northwest. And a south wind blowing gently, thinking to have gained the purpose, raising anchor they sailed along close by Crete. And not much after, a stormy wind being called Euroclydon beat down on it. And the ship was whirled about by the wind, and could not keep head to it, and we let it drive. But running under an islet being called Clauda, we were hardly able to get mastery of the boat, and when we launched it, we began undergirding and repairing the ship. And because we were afraid of grounding, we lowered the sail, so we drifted. And as the storm raged violently upon us, the next day we threw goods into the sea. And on the third day they threw out the ship's tackle with their hands. And as the storm held on for many days, and as no sun was visible, nor moon, nor stars, all hope of our surviving was given up. Then no man among them had eaten anything. Then standing up in their midst, Paul said, truly, O men, if you had listened to me we would not have set sail from Crete, and we would have been spared this injury and loss. Now let me counsel you not to be depressed, for not a single life among you will be lost, but only the ship. For tonight stood by me a cherub of the Elohim, of whom I belong, and whom I serve, saying, Do not fear, Paul, you must stand before Caesar. And, behold, Elohim has granted to you all those sailing with you. Therefore, be cheered, men, for I believe Yahweh, that it will be so according to the way it was spoken to me. However, we will be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night came, we being carried about in the Adriatic Sea, toward the middle of the night the sailors supposed us to come near some country. And sounding, they found 20 fathoms, and moving a little and sounding again, they found 15 fathoms. And as we feared lest we should be caught in places where were rocks, they cast 4 anchors from the stern of the ship, and prayed for the morning. And the sailors sought to flee out of the ship. And from it they lowered down the boat into the sea, under pretense that they were going in it to make fast the ship to the land. Paul said to the centurion, and to the soldiers, Unless these remain in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat, and let it fall. And while the day was drawing on, Paul advised them all to take food, saying, Today is the 14th day you continued waiting without food, not having taken anything. Because of this I beg you to take of food, for this is to your deliverance, for not a hair of your head shall perish. And saying these things, and taking bread, he gave thanks to Yahweh before all, and breaking, he began to eat. And all having become cheered, they also took food. And we were, all the souls in the ship, 276. And being filled with food, they lightened the ship, throwing the wheat out into the sea. And when it was day, the sailors knew not what land it was, but they saw on the margin of the land an inlet of the sea, whither, if possible, they intended to drive the ship. And they cut away the anchors from the ship, and left them in the sea. And they loosened the bands of the rudder, and hoisted a small sail to the breeze, and made way towards the land. And coming on a place between two seas, they drove the vessel. And indeed the forward part having stuck firmly, it remained. But the stern was broken by the violence of the waves. And the mind of the soldiers was that they should kill the prisoners, lest any swimming out should escape. But being minded to save Paul, the centurion kept them back from their purpose and commanded those able to swim, first casting themselves overboard, to go out on the land. And the rest went, some indeed on boards, and others on some of the things from the ship. And so it happened that all were saved on the land. Chapter 28. And being saved, then they knew that the island is called Melita. And the barbarians who inhabited it were showing us much kindness, for having kindled a fire because of the rain coming on, and because of the cold, they welcomed us all. And Paul gathering a bunch of sticks, and putting them on the fire, a snake coming out from the heat fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw it hanging from his hand, they said to one another, By all means this man is a murderer, whom being saved out of the sea, justice did not permit to live. Then he indeed shaking the viper off into the fire, he suffered no harm. But they expected him to be about to become inflamed, or suddenly to fall down dead. But over much time, they expecting and seeing nothing amiss happening to him, changing their minds, they said him to be a god. And there were lands in that quarter, belonging to a man named Publius, who was the chief man of the island, and he cheerfully received us at his house 3 days. And it happened the father of Publius was lying down, suffering from fevers and dysentery, to whom Paul, entering and praying, laying on his hands, cured him. Then, this taking place, the ones in the island having infirmities also came up, and they were healed. They also honored us with many honors. And on our setting sail, they lay on us such things as were needed. And after 3 months we sailed in a ship that had wintered in the island, an Alexandrian ship which bore the sign, Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we remained 3 days. And from there we made a circuit, and arrived at the city Regium. And, after 1 day, the south wind blew, favorably, for us, and in 2 days we came to Puteoli, a city of Italy. And there we found brethren, and they invited us, and we remained with them 7 days, and then we proceeded towards Rome. And the brethren there, hearing of our approach, came out to meet us as far as the village called Appii Forum, and as far as the 3 taverns. And when Paul saw them, He gave thanks to Yahweh, and was encouraged. And when we went into Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the camp commander. But Paul was allowed to remain by himself, with the soldier guarding him. And after 3 days, Paul sent and called for the principal Jews. And when they were assembled, he said to them, "Men, my brethren, although I did nothing against the people or the law of my fathers, I was at Jerusalem delivered over in bonds to the Romans, who examining me were of a mind to let me go, because no cause of death was in me. But the Jews speaking against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not as having anything to accuse the people of my nation. On account of this, then, I called for you, to see and to speak to you. For I have this chain around me for the sake of the hope of Israel." And they said to him, "We neither received letters concerning you from the Jews, nor having arrived has any one of the brothers reported or spoken anything evil concerning you. But we are desirous to hear from thee what thou think, as for this doctrine, we know, is not received by any one." And having appointed him a day, more came to him in the lodging, to whom he expounded, earnestly testifying the kingdom of Yahweh and persuading them the things concerning Yahshua, both from the Torah of Moses and the prophets, from morning until evening. And some indeed were persuaded by that being said, others disbelieved. And they went out from him, disagreeing among themselves. And Paul addressed to them this speech, "Well did the Holy Spirit speak through the prophet Isaiah to our fathers, saying, Go to this people and say, You will surely hear, and not at all understand, and you will surely see, and not at all perceive, for the heart of this people was fattened, and they have heard with the ears heavily, and they closed their eyes lest at any time they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted. And I should heal them. Then let it be known to you that the salvation of Elohim was sent to the nations, and they will hear." And he saying these things, the Jews went away, having much discussion among themselves. And Paul remained 2 whole years in his own rented house that he paid for, and he welcomed all those coming in to him, proclaiming the kingdom of Elohim, and teaching the things concerning the Master Yahshua Messiah with all freedom and without hindrance.